بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I want you to realize where you are sitting and what you are getting for being here, inshallah. We are sitting here in the majlis of the knowledge about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are sitting here to learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the intention of applying it in our lives. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us and to fill your lives with barakah and noor as a result of this, inshallah. In addition to that, this whole thing is happening in the masjid, so we have that barakah as well. Now, what does that mean? You spent roughly 6, maybe 7 hours here yesterday. So 6 hours plus, if you add in the breaks, actually more than 7 hours, because the breaks were 2 hours, so that was 8 hours, and plus, you know, a little bit more time here and there. So what, say roughly, to make calculation easy, see, you spent about 8 hours here today, actually here yesterday, for the same purpose, and inshallah you will spend this about the same time today here. So what does that mean? It means, inshallah, that given where you are and given your intention of being here and given what is happening here, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to count all these hours as hours of ibadah, as hours of worship, because we are learning about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are reading and trying to understand ayat of Quran related to that. We are trying to understand the hadith related to that. We are seeing the incidents from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are seeing how to apply them and so on and so forth. So inshallah, and we are doing this, all this we are doing for what? For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, inshallah al-musta'an, it is my husna zan with my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah count all of this as, He will count this among your good deeds, and you will see them on your scales on the day of judgment, and this will be counted inshallah as ibadah. Now think about this. Whatever else you might have been doing, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the tawfiq to be here. Whatever else you might have been doing, would that have been superior to this? First question. Whatever else it was, right? Would that have been superior to this? Because what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about those who go out seeking knowledge? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the malaika spread their wings under their feet. Right? The point of iman bil ghaib is to actually realize the truth of what we are hearing. So when you walked here and when you drove here, you weren't driving on tarmac, you were not walking on concrete, you were walking on the wings of angels, on the wings of angels. Then Rasulullah said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders, and as a result of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the creatures on the earth, including the fish in the river and the insects in their holes, they make dua for the maghfirat, for the forgiveness of the person who has gone out seeking knowledge. Right? So now all of this put together, whatever else you might have been doing, whether it was your profession, whether it was your business, whether because it was a weekend you were engaged in, you know, some form of entertainment. And please understand, I'm not saying you were doing anything haram. No, you would have been doing halal. Alhamdulillah, you're Muslim. Why would you do anything haram? I'm talking about halal things. But I'm also talking about the relative value of what you were doing. So yes, I was sleeping in my bed in my house. What's wrong with that? Nothing is wrong with that. But is that, does that equal to ibadah? Are angels spreading their wings under you? Are the creatures of Allah making dua for your maghfirah? No. Simple. I was watching some game which is halal. I was reading a book which was halal. I was in my profession which is halal. I was running my shop which is halal. All of which is fine. But what does that qualify for this level of reward? No. So alhamdulillah, the first thing we need to do when we come to things like this is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. It is only by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I are here. And of course, the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are sitting in comfort, we are, you know, having our coffee and whatnot while we are teaching and learning. But alhamdulillah, it is the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tawfiq of Allah that Allah gave us this. The reason I'm saying this is because as we speak, this reward is in the realm of the ghaib, of the unperceivable. The ghaib is not the hidden, the ghaib is not the unseen, because what is unseen can become seen. What is unseen in one way can become seen in some other way by using a tool. The ghaib, al-ghaib is, the correct translation of al-ghaib is the unperceivable, meaning that it is unseen, unheard, unperceived and unperceivable. For example, what is the situation in the qabr? What is the situation in the grave? When we die, what will happen? How do we know? Because we were told by the one who does not die. Al-hayyu alladhi la yamut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of what happens in the grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us this. That is how we know. But if somebody says, no, find me and give me evidence. Evidence as in material evidence. You say that there is punishment in the grave, there is fire in the grave, but when I go to a cemetery, I see this beautiful green grass and it's, you got lovely flowers. And I mean, how is that grass growing on fire? Unperceivable. Right? Unperceivable. So now, that is something, al-ghaib therefore is something which is unperceivable and which can never be perceived. I mean, you cannot imagine that someday you are going to be able to invent some tool which is going to look inside the qabr and actually see the fire. Wallahala. This is not going to happen. So when you look at the issues of ghaib, the reason I mentioned this whole coming to learn about the seerah and the barakah of it and the fadilat of it, because a day will come when Allah will make this visible. Right? The unperceivable will become perceived. Then we will realize. And then there will be those who will say, alhamdulillah, I made the right choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the right choice, gave me the tawfiq, and this is mine. And there will be those who will, you know, beat their heads. And they will say, oh my God, I wish I had made the right choice. Think about that. How many people, I mean, I hear these things. I have heard these things so many times. It doesn't, I won't say it doesn't bother me, but it doesn't hurt me anymore. And that is, for example, we create this program, that two full day program on the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the first thing somebody says is, you know, it should be shorter. I'm saying it bothers me, but it doesn't hurt me anymore because I've learned to live with that. But my point is, what are you actually saying? Think about that. You are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to me. You are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you gave me 16 hours worth of worship. No, make it shorter. That's what you're saying. That is exactly what you're saying. Because 16 hours of worship, tell me, when was the last time you did 16 hours of worship? You're saying, no, make it shorter. Why can't we condense this into 2 hours? Because the reason you are saying is not because you are, rebellious person or you have left Islam. No, because you are not able to see beyond what is in front of you. You are looking at content. You are not looking at the meaning of this content. Why do you think people of the past, and I gave you some examples yesterday, I'll give you some more examples today from the Salafus Salihin, why do you think they went and they studied for 20 years, 30 years? Why? Not because they were dumb. Is it that so-and-so was so stupid that, you know, what really he should have learnt in a week, it took him 30 years. Is it that? Or is it that they were seeing something which you and I were not seeing? So we are actually saying to Allah, I don't need all this reward, you know, shorten it, condense it. I send out this Fajr reminder, many of you get it, you know, every day in the morning you get one, it's one email or one message every morning, the Fajr reminders. Many times people tell me, you know, that should be shorter. Because people's attention span today is very short. And to me, the thing is that, I mean, if you have the attention span of a goldfish, what must I do? The whole focus of our life has become warped. Instead of focusing on the attention span and saying, why is it that I have an attention span which is like a monkey's? One banana at a time. I must do something about my attention span. I mean, the approach should be that. Is I've got a problem that I cannot focus on anything for more than 10 seconds. Right? Is it my problem or is it somebody else's problem? It's my problem. So what must I do? I must do something to improve my attention span. Instead of that, what have we got into doing? No. Reduce this thing. Give me in 10 second slots. And may Allah forgive us, many of the providers, you know, the scholars and so on, they fall into that trap. They say, no, we should do it like this. Oh, because young people. My principle in life is very simple. Any time in the world, there will be winners, there will be losers. I focus on winners, not losers. Simple. Winners have long attention spans. Losers have low attention spans, small attention spans. It's not my problem. I'm not in the business of training monkeys. I'm in the business of training human beings. So I said, Alhamdulillah, no problem. So understand where you are, understand what you are doing. And say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah gave me an opportunity. And thank Allah for the fact that you are availing of this opportunity. And then the real way of actually benefiting from the opportunity is to practice what we learn. Because it is not my intention merely to communicate the message to you, and it should not also be your intention only to listen to that and go away. Our intention matches that I would like to practice what I am teaching, and I would like you to practice what I am teaching, and you must say, well, I would like to practice what I am learning. So, Alhamdulillah, we are both in sync and we practice what we are teaching and learning. So, focus on the fact that today, I gave you only one example of this because we are sitting here in this class, but today, whatever is not visible will become visible when we meet Malakul Maut. Then we will truly realize the value of what we were doing. The only problem with that is that realizing at that time is not going to change anything, because you can't, what is done is done, finished. You will know, but that knowing is not going to help you or me. And that is where Iman Bil Ghaib comes. If we have faith in the unperceivable, then we know. We are not blind, we know. And then we don't get stuck with the appearance of the thing. Many times people go to, I hear this all the time. People go to a lecture. So they're listening to the Sheikh. And you ask them, what did you, how was the lecture? He said, you know, his accent is not good. He's a very Arab accent, or he has a very, you know, Indian accent. And he says people instead of people. Now what do you say to a comment like that? You went to check out the accent of the Sheikh. I mean, was that the reason you went there? Whether he said people and bark or people and park, did you not understand what he was saying? You knew what. I mean, that's why you're laughing. You're laughing at his accent. Is proof of what? One, bad manners. Two, lack of focus. Three, that you understood what he was saying. Otherwise, why are you laughing? So what did you take away from there? So as I said, there are always winners and losers. Losers talk like this. The winners, they look at the focus. What did the Sheikh say? What was that message? How did that message touch my heart? How have I changed my... I don't care. Let him talk like anything. I mean, the man is from some country. He will talk with that accent. So what? Big deal. The reason I'm saying all of this is because this is a very common thing that has come in all of us. We get stuck with the externals. What does the person look like? What is the accent like? You know? Is he joking, not joking? Is he amusing, not amusing? First, therefore, question to ask ourselves is, what is my niyyah? Why am I here? Whether it's here today or whether it's in any situation, what is my niyyah? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Innama al-amalu bin niyat. The reward of the deed, and the reward of the deed refers both to the reward Allah will give you as well as the benefit that you will derive from the deed in this world, both. That also is the reward of the deed. So if my intention when I go somewhere, either I'm going blank, no intention, I just happen to be there, warm body, which is not an intelligent way of living. Or I'm going there and my intention is all sorts of stuff instead of, let me listen to what is being said, let me see how this thing applies to me, what can I do, what can't I do. Otherwise the focus is all this, accent. You know, I mean, the kind of speech, amusing, not amusing, interesting, not interesting, whatever that interesting means. Then the other musibat, which is, we get stuck in, oh, you know, he mentioned one hadith and that hadith was daif. Now, the most people, if you say a hadith is daif, you ask him, please define what is the meaning of daif. He does not have the definition. Sometimes people ask me, yeah, please give me, where is this from? So, I just out of the top of my head, if he said, where is this from? I said, Bulughul Maram. Now, he said, okay, thank you. So, Bulughul Maram, which chicken is that? Yeah. So, all you are looking for is some Arabic sounding thing. So, I'll tell you some Arabic sounding thing. Now that shows the extent, you are asking with such authority, give me the dalil, where is this from? Where is this from? No, I mean, seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. Most people who ask for a dalil, if you give the dalil, they have no clue what you are saying. Because they don't know those books, they don't understand, they don't even know, is that book a proper book to say the dalil from? This is from Mickey Mouse magazine. I mean, you know, why not? Focus on our intention. Why am I there? Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives me the right intention. Focus on that. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled you to be engaged in an activity which is ibadah, where Allah is rewarding you just for being there, just for listening, just for doing something. Inshallah, Allah will reward you and me even more when we go and apply it. But even if, before we get to the application, just sitting here, imagine this is like the ticker running. Like you are sitting here, it's running, tick, 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 tick. And all of that you will see on the day of judgment, inshallah, almost. So we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I could be anywhere, but I'm not anywhere, I'm here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with us and to continue to bless us with opportunities to earn His pleasure and to improve our lives. Because a day will come when there will be a bell and that bell will say, okay, end of this particular race. And then whatever is the score, that's the score. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a score, inshallah, which is good for us and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with, inshallah.